Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Ramadan. You think about Ramadan, it's a time that Muslims are beginning to fast and cry out for an encounter with God. And it's a perfect time for us as Christians to pray for Muslims and begin to say, God, that you would encounter them, that they would meet your son, Jesus, the Messiah. I mean, think about a perfect time when people are hungry and searching, they're searchers for God. It's a perfect time. As a matter of fact, take a look at what's taking place right now as people are praying for Muslims to be saved during Ramadan.
Well, Ramadan is the holy month on the Islamic calendar. It's the month when Muslims will tell you that Allah revealed the Quran to the Prophet Muhammad. And Muslims today remember that and celebrate that by fasting. They don't eat or drink from sun up in the morning until sundown in the evening as a way of remembering and honoring this holy month, and also as a way of seeking a closer connection with Allah.
Why is it important to pray for Muslims during Ramadan?
One of the reasons that the Quran prescribes fasting for Muslims is that they can achieve taqwa, which translated means God consciousness. So they are really spending this month thinking about spiritual things and seeking a connection with God. Obviously for us as Christians, we want them to achieve that. We want them to come to know the one true God and his son, Jesus Christ. And so our prayers throughout this month should be that as Muslims are seeking that God connection, that God awareness, that God will move supernaturally to speak to them and to make them aware of his presence and his love for them and the salvation that comes through his son, Jesus Christ. He's doing that in phenomenal ways through supernatural means, dreams and visions and other ways. He's doing it through radio and television broadcasts. He's putting Bibles into the hands of Muslims in the Middle East. So we can pray that God will continue to move, and it's significant to pray during Ramadan because that's what Muslims are looking for. That's what they're seeking during this special month.
In the VOM 30-Day Prayer Guide, you mentioned nine rooms of Islam. What are the nine rooms of Islam?
Well, one of the early Muslim writers identified the House of Islam and everybody else, which he called the House of War. And, you know, it's easy to think of Muslims as sort of a unified mass of people that are all pretty similar. But that's not true for Muslims, just as it's not true for Christians. We think of Catholics and Protestants and Eastern Orthodox Christians, as well as evangelicals of all different spectrums. And all of those people would identify themselves as Christians. The world would identify all of them as Christians, but they're very different. We know that. They're very different in what they believe and how they practice their faith. That's true for Muslims as well. And so the prayer guide divides the House of Islam into nine parts of the world, nine regions, and the Muslims in each of those regions have different beliefs and different practices and different backgrounds. And as we understand those things, we're able to pray more effectively for them because it becomes much more personal. We understand a little bit about them, a little bit about their background. We can pray more effectively and more personally that God will move in that part of the world and reveal himself to Muslims.
Which prayers of Christians can be most effective during Ramadan?
The most significant thing that we can pray is that God will reveal himself to Muslims during this special time as they are seeking him, as they are fasting and praying and focusing on God. You know, God is doing that in supernatural ways. We hear stories all the time of Muslims having dreams or visions where Christ comes and appears to them and tells them, hey, I am the Son of God. You should follow me. You should worship me. And so we can pray that the Holy Spirit will move in the Muslim world during Ramadan, that Muslims will be drawn to Jesus Christ. We can also pray for our Christian brothers and sisters. There's two important prayers for Christians living in Muslim nations during this time. One is for protection. There have already been threats issued in some Muslim nations, I think particularly of Al-Shabaab in Somalia, which has openly said, we're going to celebrate Ramadan by attacking. We're going to celebrate with jihad. And so we can pray for our Christian brothers and sisters to be protected during Ramadan. But the second thing is we can pray that there'll be a witness, because as we've said, Muslims are seeking God. Our Christian brothers and sisters who live in those cultures, who speak the language, they can come alongside their Muslim neighbors and say, hey, I know the one true God. Let me tell you about him. Let me point you towards him. And this Ramadan season, we can pray, will be a season of revival in the Muslim world.
Okay, so how do we find out more about the 30 days of prayer during Ramadan?
The 30-day prayer guide is available from Voice of the Martyrs. You can come to our website, persecution.com, and just click on the store link at the top of the page. One of the things we're doing to equip Christians to pray is we're making this available in bundles. So you can have them for your church, for your Sunday school class, for your Bible study group, to hand them out to equip all of the Christians that you know to pray effectively for Muslims during this Ramadan season.
Okay, Todd Nettleton of VOM, thanks for reminding us to pray during Ramadan, and thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much, and I encourage our viewers, pray for Muslims during the Ramadan season.
This is so important to understand, you know, how we as Christians can pray for those that are in the Muslim world. During this time, they're fasting and praying, and they're crying out to God. We know God. We can ask it. God, reveal yourself to the Muslim people. Reveal your heart to them. Help them to know you. As a matter of fact, the Lord has begun to show himself powerfully in dreams to many Muslim people who are being saved and giving their life to Jesus just through an encounter in their dreams. Take a look at this.
As mentioned, Muslims are experiencing Jesus through dreams and visions, and it's a growing phenomenon in the Islamic world. Julie Stahl has the testimonies of several men who say Jesus supernaturally appeared to them and changed their lives forever. Take a look.
The phenomenon of these dreams and visions has spread throughout the Muslim world from Indonesia to Morocco and beyond. Several years ago, Ali went on the Hajj, the Muslim pilgrimage to Mecca.
Of course, when I went to Mecca, I was going there in order to pay homage to the Kaaba and to fulfill the requirements in Islam.
Ali's experience in Mecca is dramatized in this DVD called More Than Dreams.
But that night, I saw Jesus in a dream. First, Jesus touched my forehead with his finger. And after touching me, he said, "You belong to me." And then he touched me above my heart. "You have been saved. Follow me. You belong to me," he said. So I decided, okay, I am not going to finish the Hajj, the pilgrimage. Whatever it takes, I am going to follow that voice.
In addition to Ali's story, the DVD tells of other Muslims who came to faith in Jesus through a dream or vision.
We're seeing that all around. We're hearing about people that have never even thought about Jesus as Savior. They're content Muslims, and they're having dreams over and over.
Tom Doyle serves in E3 Ministries. He and his wife Joanna take the gospel to the Muslim world. Tom also wrote the upcoming book, Dreams and Visions, Is Jesus Awakening the Muslim World?
I think our God is a fair God. He's righteous and just. When people are seeking, they don't know where to go. Maybe they don't have a Bible. Maybe there's no missionary in the village. He'll get the message to him somehow.
This woman comes from a Central Asian country. Her identity is hidden for security reasons.
In the church, if you ask how people came to Christ, 80% will say they saw him in a dream.
A Christian friend challenged this woman to ask God to speak to her personally.
So I decided to ask him, and so I did. And then the next day, I guess, I saw a dream, and in my dream, I saw Jesus was a bridge. I decided to come to him.
Hey guys, my name is Hazem.
Hazem Faraj, host of a satellite TV program, hears from Muslims about their dreams and visions.
I had one lady write me and said, I had a nightmare, and she said, I turned on the television and there you were. And she said, and the words that were coming out of your mouth were so peaceful, I fell asleep. And she said, and when I fell asleep, I ended up having a vision of Jesus. She said, I saw the Lord. She wasn't a believer. She said, I saw the Lord Jesus, and he was in a bright white robe. He pointed to a man who I knew in the dream was Abraham, and he was sacrificing Isaac. And she said, as soon as I looked over, I had known that Jesus was the Christ, sacrificed the Son of God.
Doyle says the dream or vision is usually the start, not the end, of a Muslim's conversion.
You know, nobody goes to sleep, Chris, a Muslim and wakes up a Christian, but it knocks down the false barriers that are inherent in Islam. A couple of them are that we worship three gods, that the Bible's corrupted.
The Doyles say, compared to the political storm sweeping the Middle East, this could be seen as a spiritual earthquake.
You know what? As things heat up politically and spiritually within Islam, man, the Holy Spirit's moving even more powerfully.
This is the time when hearts are open, people are desperate, governments are changing, everybody's foundation has massive cracks in it, and Jesus is the answer that can come in and fill that need.
Many veteran missionaries say these dreams and visions, combined with satellite television, are reaching Muslims in unprecedented numbers. They say more Muslims are coming to Jesus than at any other time in the 1400-year history of Islam. The Doyles say believers in the West can join this spiritual revolution.
So yes, I think that, you know, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And, you know, we are committed, all of us as believers, we've got to reach those with the gospel of Christ.
Not everybody's going to go to the Middle East, but they can pray. And no government, no leader can block intercession around the world. That's one thing that can get into any country. So we need to pray as believers that God would continue to just push the gospel out to the ends of the earth.
Julie Stahl, CBN News, Jerusalem.
Think about that. In 1,400 years of Islam, more Christians, more Muslims are coming to Christianity than ever before. It's a very exciting time. You know, God is just showing forth his love to the people on the earth, to the Muslim people. And if you are Muslim, I just want to ask you, you know, why not ask? Just ask the Lord, show yourself to me. God, show yourself to me. That you would, is Jesus your son? Just ask the question. I mean, why would you be afraid of that if he wasn't? And I believe the Lord's just going to reveal himself to you because he loves you and he has a plan for your life. And we just pray right now for the Muslim people as they're crying out for God to be revealed to them. God, that you would reveal your heart to them, Father God, and save them, we pray. In Jesus' name. It's an exciting time.
You think about it. Ramadan's taking place right now. Many people, Muslim people, are fasting. They're not eating. They are crying. They're believing that God would encounter them.
Yeah.
Which means they're in that receiving mode.
Sure. Right? This year, it falls between June 17th through July 17th, and that's Ramadan.
Right.
So we want to make sure that you have those dates so that you can pray. And be alert. Yeah.
Yeah. And think about it. It's when even the crippled guy at the gate, beautiful, he was expecting money.
Yeah.
But instead he got healing. I mean, he you know, Peter came by and he said, you know, could I have some money for the poor? And they look at him and they said, silver and gold have I not, but what I do have in the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And so because he looked at them and had that open heart, I'm going to receive something. He got healed. I mean, that was not what he was expecting.
Mm-mm.
Well, you have a lot of Muslim people right now that their hearts are opened and they're wanting this encounter with God. They're doing away with some food and these different things. And we're just going to believe that God can reveal himself to them. He has. And he actually is already doing it. In a moment, we'll be talking to you or showing you. Revival is breaking out in Northern Africa,
which is beautiful. I believe over 160 baptisms are occurring every single year in North Africa, which is absolutely amazing.
I mean, think about it. Over in 1400 years of Islam, more Muslims are becoming Christian than in 1400 years.
Yeah. And now you think about
maybe that's why there's such a ruckus going on because of fear of loss
Yeah. You look at the technology and what's happening today, where satellite television and radio, even VFN TV, where many of listeners and viewers in Pakistan and North Africa and Morocco, Egypt are staying connected. And we appreciate that. And we want to continue to preach the gospel into the Middle East Muslim areas so that it's the only way they can hear the gospel in many cases.
Right. Well, know that we're definitely praying for you. And when you think about this, you know, we're going to have this video in a moment, but think about this. We got to begin to take a stand for all life. I mean, all life everywhere. And as we dedicate the first part of our program is standing up for Muslim life, you know, and, you know, people are being killed right now by people who profess to be Muslim and they're killing Muslim people who are not Muslim enough, you know, and God loves the human race. And we need to begin to just really think about that. And understanding that will help you pray and cry out for the Muslim people, because God loves them and he can save them. He can actually show himself. Revival, like I said, is breaking out in Northern Africa. You got to take a look at this. This is how God answers those prayers.
These images of North Africans worshiping have never been seen before on television. As the sun sets over the Mediterranean Sea, Muslims across this part of Africa are converting to faith in Jesus Christ in record numbers.
What God is doing in North Africa, all the way from actually Mauritania to Libya, is unprecedented in history of missions.
Tino Kahush, a graduate of Regent University, has spent years traveling the region to document the transformation.
I have the privilege of recording testimonies and listening to firsthand stories of men and women, all ages, where they can be sitting in a room and see the appearance, the presence of God appear to them in reality. It's like a vision. They can, some of them gave me stories of they carry a conversation. It's not just a light that appears.
His interviews confirm what experts say is a profound move of God in the predominantly Muslim nations of Mauritania, Western Sahara, Morocco, Algeria, Libya, and Tunisia.
Sometimes I feel jealous. How come it's visiting the Muslim world at this time and age where we don't hear that happening in the traditional Christian community?
From the shores of Casablanca in Morocco to Tripoli, Libya, experts say the growth of Christianity, especially in the last 20 years, has been unprecedented. And nowhere is that growth more evident than in the North African nation of Algeria.
In fact, we never thought the Algerian church would grow so big.
Pastor Salah leads one of the largest churches in Algeria, where 99% of the population is Muslim. He says every new Christian in his church came from a Muslim background. Some 1,200 believers attend the church.
In fact, since we started as a church until today, we've baptized on average 150 to 160 believers per year.
Men like Zeno, who was invited to attend Pastor Salah's church by a friend.
I saw Algerians worshiping God with all their hearts, and it touched me.
Others like Farhat speak of miraculous encounters. He says he was illiterate and couldn't read the Bible when he accepted the Lord. Then God made a change.
Since then, I've read the Bible and understood the word of God. This is just an example of what God has done in my life. And this is the case of many, many people here in Algeria.
Even though Algeria is overwhelmingly Muslim, the government has given Protestant churches the freedom to register their congregations.
It is the first Muslim Arab government who recognized officially churches from Islam.
Yusuf Kourahmani is a leading Algerian pastor. He says the government will harass and intimidate Christians from time to time, but the level of persecution is nothing like it was 20 years ago.
God has given us many opportunities to witness at the police stations, at the courts. And actually, once I went to the police station, and they gave me 45 minutes to speak about Jesus. Just imagine yourself, there are all Muslims. Well, tell us about Jesus, please.
But Algeria and the countries of North Africa weren't always open to the gospel. Peter is a veteran missionary in these parts.
You know, there's that parable, the sower went out to sow, and the seed fell on stony ground. This is North Africa. In those days, was quite resistant and stony.
For security reasons, we've altered his voice and concealed his identity.
The religion and the culture were unsympathetic to anything that was foreign, and Christianity was considered to be the religion of the Europeans.
Peter believes the arrival of satellite TV and the internet have dramatically changed people's perception of Christianity.
Today in North Africa, on TV, you can hear native Arab Christians talking about their faith, who are mature Christians, answering questions, involved in debates.
Emboldened by God's power, Algerian Christians are now on a mission to take the gospel to the four corners of the globe.
God has put in our heart to be able to send 1,000 missionaries by the year 2025. And I really believe maybe one day America will end up with some Muslim converts, missionaries coming to reach out to the Muslims there and other parts as well.
George Thomas, CBN News, along the shores of the Mediterranean.
That is so powerful to see. And that's evidence of the Lord showing himself in dreams and things turning around. But what happened after that encounter that we were looking at took place there in
North Africa,
Morocco, and all that. Yes. That's when ISIS started coming in, because obviously the adversary did not want to see Christians. Mm-hmm. I mean, you think about it. They registered with the government. Yeah, they felt confident enough we could register with the government. Now imagine ISIS coming in and taking over your government and going through a roster and trying to find everybody that's there. For some reason, you know, that we struggle with as a church, I believe, is trying to get recognition from the world and the world systems and the world's governments. And it really doesn't matter what the world says at all about the church. It matters what God says about the church, you know?
Yeah. And this is so encouraging, all these reports and all these people that are giving their lives to Jesus, former Muslims. But I don't think we can get too, you know, we hear some good news that's happening in the East. We hear it and we think, well, now every Muslim. No, there's still plenty of work to be done. And it causes me to think about Pastor Saeed Abedini.
1,000 days.
1,000 days now in prison.
In Iranian prison. While we negotiate with the leaders of Iran to get nuclear weapons, who wants to annihilate Israel and America.
Yeah.
You think about that. It's crazy.
Crazy. Please continue to pray for Pastor Saeed and for all of our brothers and sisters who are in prison right now and are being killed just for being Christians.
These are wild days to think that we would even negotiate with a government who is against Israel, against America, and imprisoning a pastor, pastors, and beat their young people that in their 20s, teens and 20s, because they actually were happy. They actually sang a song, Happy.
Wow.
And they threatened them. They just said that you would get, I believe it was, 40 lashes for this, but they suspended it, you know. And I think the Ayatollah overruled it and said, you know, we should let our people be happy. And I'm thinking, what is religion? It's like, jeez. Oh, my goodness. And so God is setting people free. I mean, if all you've been taught is Islam, if all you've been taught is the Quran, if all you've seen was people suffer huge consequences for even venturing outside of that, you know, that's the way you're raised. But when you find out that God actually laid down his son for you, that he died for you, think about that. The difference between all this other whatever is that God loves you so much. God loves you so much that he gave his son, Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah. He gave him to die for your sins. He took on all those works and all that stuff that religion says you have to do to be able to be right with God. And he says, you can't do it. I did it on the cross with my son, and I paid the price for him. That's what's so awesome about our God. An enemy just tries to get people trying to do all kinds of different things to earn their salvation, but it's been earned on the cross through Jesus Christ. That's why when you see revival breaking out in Morocco or Tunisia and these different countries, you know, Lucifer gets all terrified and starts, you know, going, we got to get in there quickly and start throwing religion around, because these guys are getting free and they're finding God through his son, Jesus Christ. So I just want to pray for you even again now. You know, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, today is your day. Today is your day. He's real. That's how he's real. He's not religion. He's real. It's a relationship he wants with you through his son, Christ. Said, God, I want to know you. I want to know your son. I want you to be my God. Listen, we shared our stories at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. Go there and just read about how we found God. And you'll find out, you know, if God can save me, if he can save us, he can save anyone.
That's right.
But God loves you. He has a plan for your life. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.